This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there's more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team.
So many question marks about this team right now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
How come every single time it seems they're near in the red zone, Zeke's out, Pollard's in? Pollard was running on first and second, and then number 21 was coming out on third down. Where the hell was Zeke? $90 million?
Settle down just a little bit.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Clemson head coach Dabo Swinney, 9-time Pro Bowler DeMarcus Ware. Coming up, co-creator of Netflix's Big Mouth, Nick Kroll. Plus, co-host of Peacock's Brother from Another, Michael Hawley. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. The very funny Nick Kroll will be joining us in about 20 minutes' time. Michael Hawley, 20 minutes after that. And then 20 minutes after that, we send things over to Michael Hawley and Michael Smith right here on NBC Sports on Peacock for Brother from Another. We're here on Sirius XM Channel 211, NBC Sports Audio, and also the Rich Eisen Show Terrestrial Radio Network, headlined by the mightier 1090, right here in beautiful, lovely Southern California, where Paul George just signed a supermax deal with the Los Angeles Clippers, $226 million. $226 million. I think that's just one, Microsoft 96 download, right? That's it, right?
I think the Mega Millions is at 226 right now.
Oh, he just hit it.
Jeez.
He just hit it. And we're all waiting for Giannis's decision, and James Harden going to go somewhere else. He wants to go somewhere else, apparently, according to Shams Charania, that he's expanded his wish list from the Sixers to also include the Milwaukee Bucks and the Miami Heat. And that's our poll question that we have not checked in a little bit of time. At the top of our at Rich Eisen Show Twitter handle, Chris Brockman, what do we have over there? Top of hour number three.
Yeah, which team, if they acquired James Harden, would have the best chance to beat the Lakers this year? Since we've given them the title, right, TJ? We've just anointed the Lakers this year.
I don't see how you couldn't.
Yeah,
maybe I'm being too emotional, but yeah.
Nets, 76ers, Heat, Bucks. So Bucks are at 38%, Heat 27%. Kind of surprising. Nets 20%, Sixers 15%.
Okay. Why is Jerry Jones trending? Anybody? Just everyone just talking about the Dallas Cowboys right now?
I saw a couple things. It was I'm going to get to it. Des Bryant tweeted out a little bit ago. Something.
Okay, so let's get to that. Chris Brockman's news update right here on the Rich Eisen Show. And if you're on hold, stay on hold. We'll take your phone calls very shortly as well. 844-204-RICH right here on the Rich Eisen Show on a busy Thursday.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
Hi, Chris. What's going on over there?
Yeah, so I'll just start with that, Des Bryant. Des tweeted out a few minutes ago, I tested negative back-to-back for COVID, and I'm not excited about it.
Well, look, I know he really wanted to play on, you know, Tuesday night football against the Dallas Cowboys and in front of the whole country. And I understand he's upset about not playing. But let's, you know.
That's why Jerry Jones is trending.
Everybody thought that Jerry Jones is trying to get it.
Right.
Is that really why Jerry Jones is trending?
Yeah, actually it is.
Well, it's Twitter, so let's take that with a grain of salt.
And I just got to tell you, Des, just you know, if you want to speak to anybody who's had COVID in amongst your colleagues like Myles Garrett or your quarterback, you should be pretty excited about testing negative for COVID back.
Yeah, absolutely. And that leads me to my next item real quick. Larry Fitzgerald was talking today, someone who has had COVID.
Yes.
He says he feels a lot better now, but still has no taste or smell.
He said,
quote, there were a couple days I didn't feel great. Added he dropped 9 pounds.
Wow.
And with all the free time, he redid his will.
Whoa.
Because he was pretty concerned.
No kidding.
Yeah.
This is no joke, man. This is no joke. And, it, you know, Des, we'll just forget about that. And the good news is that if he is negative and it was all false positives, then the coaches and former teammates he was on the field hugging, we don't have to worry about that. And then we'll see him Monday night on ESPN, Monday Night Football. And
that's a huge game.
It is a huge game.
Huge game.
And the Ravens have plans to use Des Bryant, and he's going to have some huge football games to be played. And, you know, he missed one against his old team, and I know he wanted to do that, but his team won. He doesn't have COVID, it appears. That's a win. And we'll see on Monday night. Throw up the X against the Browns.
Throw it up.
Which, I'll be honest with you, they need him more in that game than they did this past Tuesday night. That's for sure.
Yeah, there's no
doubt. But it's just the whole Cowboys aspect of it, and I imagine that would get him upset.
Yeah, I totally get him being frustrated.
But, you know, honestly, does it? And I know there's conspiracy theorists all over the place in this country these days, and it's totally insane, and it's getting insane, and it's getting out of control. And you know, to really think that there was some sort of conspiracy to keep Dez Bryant out of Tuesday night football? I mean, really? What else you got over there?
All right, some NFL injury stuff as we get ready for fantasy playoffs this weekend. So Christian McCaffrey not present for Thursday's Panthers practice. Dealing with this new quad tweak that flared up this week.
Oh, my word.
Let's keep an eye on that tomorrow and this weekend.
Rest him up. Get him ready. Game time decision. Here we go. What do you do?
Keep him loose.
Why play him? I mean, you're not going to make the playoffs.
Are you going against him?
I am.
Going.
Yeah, Chris, you hush over there, bro.
I'm going against
you. You hush.
Well, I got Mike Davis in the flex shoot. You know,
I got everyone from the Colts, so there's that.
I got Nyheim Hines.
Hit him with
me too.
Alan Lazard.
Me too.
My newly acquired Peyton Barber, and CeeDee Lamb. And or Mike Davis for that very all important flex spot.
CeeDee Lamb was pretty good with Andy Dalton.
Did he really?
I mean, it was garbage time, but he had.
Did he really?
He had 10 points. All right, a couple other things that my guy Antonio Gibson did not practice today. JD McKissick and Peyton Barber splitting snaps.
Okay.
Splitting snaps. Rich Denzel Mims not playing against Seattle. Athletic reports Taysom Hill is going to start against the Eagles. I think we all assume that. Tyreek Hill did not go yesterday for Kansas City. Held out with an illness. Andy Reid made it to point to note not COVID-related.
Yeah, I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire had flu.
Yeah, so I think that might be...
It could be going around.
Might be going around, KC. Some guys were all limited yesterday. Alan Lazard, Zeke Elliott, T. Higgins, Brandon Cooks, Allen Robinson, James Robinson, Daniel Jones, A.J. Brown, Josh Jacobs did not go yesterday. Cam Akers... had been dealing with some stuff. He is all set to go tonight.
He's going
to
go tonight.
So heavy Akers and Henderson tonight.
Okay. While we're on the subject of fantasy football, you picked up again, we discussed it at length, Ty Johnson of the Jets. And you're toying with the idea of playing him in your fantasy football playoff game.
Thinking about it.
You're toying with the idea
of
an awful league where somebody who once upon a time took 28 minutes to select... Brian Hartline, you informed us you were sitting on the lead this entire time for 3-4 months. Same guy took a half an hour to choose Jonnu Smith, which would absolutely make me want to scratch his eyes out. And let's take this quick phone call in the middle of your news update. Ryan in Kansas, you're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, Rich. I want to thank you for taking my phone call. Thanks. Love the show.
Thank you, sir.
Love it a little bit more, honestly, when Bob Costas is on. No offense to you or anything like that.
That's
that was
all
awesome
good.
Yesterday.
That was fun yesterday. It sure was.
Hey, I got to say, I've been doing fantasy football 29 years. This is our 29th year this year. We do not do timed drafts. We do it in person. We have never had someone take 30 minutes.
What would you do?
I think that's crazy.
So what's the longest... If nobody with time limits, I mean, and then what do? Do you start stamping your feet, start pounding the table? What do? How do you get people?
We usually just razz them. I mean, if they're taking a while, we usually say, well, you know, some obscure guy is still out there. We say, hey, if you don't start choosing, we'll take a defense for you and stuff like that. But no, we razz each other a lot throughout the whole draft. But
okay.
29 years, I think the most we maybe waited was maybe 5 minutes, but. Hardly it. Definitely not 30.
Give an inch and you take a yard. What's your buddy's name again? Let's out him, Chris.
Jason Sherman.
Jason Sherman.
Member of the tribe.
That's right. That doesn't stop me at all for calling him what he deserves to be called, which is an abomination. Honestly.
Good.
An abomination.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, Ryan. Appreciate it.
I'm not defending
Ryan
him,
in Kansas, certainly. 29 years of timeless drafts.
Certainly not defending
timeless
him.
Timeless drafts. All right. What else you got over
just
there?
Just a few college things. LSU self-imposed one-year bowl ban for this season. Very convenient. SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey is going to have a media call at 6 p.m. Eastern today for, quote, a significant announcement related to the Southeastern Conference.
What could that be?
Very cryptic. So.
All right. Do you want the what I think seriously or what I think unseriously?
What you want it to be?
No. What do you think? I've got a serious one and then an unserious one.
All right, let's do the serious one.
Serious one is I think they might be one of the first to say we're stopping playing college basketball.
College basketball. Ooh, wow. Yeah, Coach K was big on that yesterday.
Well, I mean, everybody's becoming big on this thing. And I know a lot of people are like, it's very convenient for Coach K. Their team looks terrible to stop, but... This is I always thought this was going to be a problem, and this is going to be a significant problem for the NBA, but it's different when you've got professional basketball players and you've got kids on campus. And I know a lot of these campuses don't have kids on it, but there's still social life and campus life, and there's if I had to just take a stab, they were going to either change their protocols or take a pause or something with college basketball, which is, in to me, dire straits right now. That's my guess. Unserious?
Pretty good guess.
Unserious is Greg Sankey's going to call everyone together and just say, want to remind everybody that here in the SEC, it just means more. I understand these are serious times, and I'm a serious man with a serious position. But I gathered you all here just to remind everybody that here in the Southeastern Conference, it just means more. But if he's coming out and saying at 6 Eastern we're getting together for significant announcements, wouldn't you say pausing basketball activities league-wide would be something like that?
That meets the criteria. Two games in the Big 12 have been canceled due to COVID. Texas at Kansas after UT shut down football operations today. And Oklahoma-West Virginia set for Saturday is also canceled.
Did you hear Boston College announce that their players voted to not go to the bowl game? And the coach said this has been an... I guess that's, you know, I've been pounding the table saying for the kids, let's get more and more players and more teams in for a college football playoff and reconfigure it. But Dabo Swinney's like, are you kidding me? We've been going since late July. This is 20 weeks. I don't want to extend the season another minute. Then they have to.
I totally see both sides of that, yeah.
So, I would guess that's what it would be. Right, you're reading about, what is it, like 800 college basketball games have been canceled or postponed across the country or something like that? Even Billis was on the air the other day basically saying, what are we doing? And, of course, rightfully pointing out that by doing this, the players are... inherently being proven as essential employees in their business. So what are we doing? Let's pay them up. Right?
Tough to argue.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Ooh, right
Julio
here.
Julio Jones didn't practice today, just breaking.
He has been...
a bummer year for Julio.
Unhealthy again.
Yeah.
Atlanta and the Chargers.
And they have running back issues. Basically, all three guys are getting snaps.
Oh, is that right?
Well, Todd Gurley doesn't look right. Looks like there's something going on with his knee again. And then they have Brian Hill and Ito Smith. They're kind of splitting.
I know. I picked up Brian Hill the other week, and it was somewhat disappointing.
Yeah.
Somewhat disappointing. You know what's another interesting game that's on this docket this week? We've been discussing it. And you kind of hit it and glossed over it a little bit. Daniel Jones is still not cleared to play.
Not cleared. Like I said, digging in a limited.
They haven't seen enough from
yesterday.
Him. Haven't seen enough
from him.
That's huge.
They really need him.
Right?
And they're playing against a team who's kind of trending in the wrong direction. So imagine the Giants could get to 6-7 here.
And the 2018 National Football League draft that was... In 2019 National Football League draft that was in the great state of Tennessee. What a great night that was.
Oh,
I mean,
night.
Just an incredible time. And, you know, you take a look at that draft. Normally when the top two quarterbacks taken in a draft play each other for the first time, you talk about
that. Oh, right, yeah.
Normally, you know, Goff and
that's
Wentz.
That's been kind of glossed over, like you said.
And they Luck and Jameis. I mean, Luck and RG3 and Jameis and Mariota, normally that's a big thing.
Yeah, Goff and Wentz.
this is the first, these are the first two quarterbacks taken in 2019, and nobody's saying a damn word about it.
Well, that's because
this is Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones might be the least sexy quarterback in the league.
What if Daniel Jones runs for more yards than Kyler? He would have if he had his full hamstring, potentially.
That's a fun prop bet. Well, just, you know, remember on his long touchdown run, he had the fastest mile per hour of any player in the league. Faster than Tyreek and Henry Ruggs and all these.
Yeah, normally it's just the first two quarterbacks taken. That's all you're talking about. Right? When Baker Mayfield didn't get the start on Thursday Night Football because Hugh Jackson was still sticking with Tyrod Taylor and the Jets put Sam Darnold on the field, it was kind of like, oh, well, we're robbed of this opportunity here.
Yeah.
And, you know, football gods were like, no, you were not robbed of this opportunity. It was just Hugh Jackson doing the robbing. So out comes Tyrod Taylor because he's hurt. In comes Baker Mayfield, who wins. Who wins? But here we go. It's Kyler Murray against Daniel Jones. And Daniel Jones, if he's healthy, is the quarterback of the 5-7 team who's in first place. And the 6-6 team comes in not in first place, but in third place. And part of the reason why is they could have lost six games in a row if they didn't get a Hail Mary for one. And then before all that, that overtime victory over the Seattle Seahawks needed, there were tons of things that needed to break their way in the fourth quarter, like Seattle not going for it on fourth and inches after not picking up a third and short, kicking the ball away, Arizona missing a field goal, but getting an opportunity after that to come back and kick one and go into overtime. That was one of the wildest games of the year.
Seattle, man.
And Arizona needed that, all of that, to overcome DK Metcalf, even running down Buda Baker in that game, all of that to win that. So this team could be 5-7 themselves coming in. And that's your matchup between the top two quarterbacks in the 2019 draft here in 2020. Nobody making a big deal of that because everybody is looking at the marquee and seeing Andy Dalton's return to the Cincinnati Bengals. Or not. Let's take a break right here on the Rich Eisen Show. When we come back, Nick Kroll, who is promoting his newest season of Big Mouth right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with Whiteboard, drawing, sharing, and building ideas in real time, all on the same page. And with Large Gallery View, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen, all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Buffalo Bills and Pittsburgh Steelers coming up on our friends on NBC on Sunday Night Football, Al and Chris. And again, congratulations to Al Michaels, the Ford Frick Award winner for the 2021 class coming into the Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum. So Al has already gotten the Roselle Award for broadcasting in the Pro Football Hall of Fame just a couple of years ago. And it's one of those, both of them were the quintessential. You say this a lot. This was definitely my reaction when we found out John Madden went into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It's just like, wait, he wasn't there yet.
Exactly.
And Al wasn't already broadcasting in the broadcasting wing for baseball. Really? How many great stories does he tell? He told on this show alone about when he called Reds games and Giants games. He told a story about he called Dodgers AAA games in Hawaii.
In Hawaii. Yeah.
And that's how he got to know Lasorda for the first time.
Yep.
His book is the book he talks about.
Did he tell us a story that Lasorda got thrown, like the way that he got Al Michaels? We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Al Michaels told a story. I think it's in his book, which is right in front of you, Mike Del Tufo.
Great book.
If I'm not mistaken, Al told the story that one of the reasons why he got the gig, I think, with the Giants calling games was because Lasorda suggested him, because Lasorda heard his calls of their AAA games in Hawaii when Lasorda kept frequently getting thrown out of games.
Right, because he would get tossed and then he would go and listen to the game on the radio.
This guy's got some chops.
Yeah.
It was Al Michaels. I love it.
Of course it's out.
Thrilled to have back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Getting ready for season 4 of Big Mouth, available for streaming on Netflix. It's released last week, as a matter of fact. The co-creator and executive producer and voice actor for many different roles in this very funny series, Big Mouth. Welcome Nick Kroll back to the show. How you been, Nick?
Good, Rich. How you doing?
I am doing fine. We've been talking quite a bit about fantasy football. Are you still in one of those or not? Because you were there.
I'm not.
You tapped out, huh?
When the league ended, I think it slipped away. And then every year I kind of wait for someone to invite me to join.
Thinking
I would be like, oh, but it's always like, it's only strangers on Twitter. And so I haven't joined.
Would you like to do one next year? I mean, we'll invite you to one. We could do that.
Well, Rich, you know, I appreciate the invite, and I will. Now I'm going to play hard to get and have to consider it. But I feel like you're in at least one league with some folks I know. I feel like you were as of a couple years ago.
I'm still in the league with a bunch of poker buddies who I definitely want to beat the pants off of. We may know some similar people right there. We were just talking earlier about how I want to win so badly that when I'm losing, I have to sit down and actually take stock in real life stuff like my children, my marriage, and just realize, like, you know what I mean? I'm healthy. Thank God, you know, like it's not sane. It's basically what I'm saying.
Does it help? But is it this year, especially with all the insanity going on? Is it a helpful distraction inside of it?
Oh my gosh, yes, it is, no doubt about it. And I still want to win, and but it hasn't balanced out the want to in terms of being a sane individual.
Like It does not balance out the desire to annihilate your close friends.
Right. But you know all about this because you were in a series literally about this sort of passion and insanity for all those years, Nick. You know what I mean? That's what the league was all about. Correct?
Yes. That is what it truly was all about. And it was while we were doing it, it was super fun to have that kind of combination of working with these people who then we were literally in the league together, and we would end up building stories around it. Like I was definitely the term tinker stinker, stinker tinker was definitely me. It was the like Sunday morning, you know, 9:45 before the first kickoff, slightly hung over on the toilet, making some rash last minute decisions.
That's the best kind though, Nick.
Totally a combination of the two.
Tinker stinker.
Yeah, those last, and then also I was a drunk tinker. I was definitely like a late night in bed, oftentimes like Saturday night, like a little drunk, and then just making some wild trades and last minute substitutions. And then the next morning, I think, would then be paying for both of those things on the toilet right before kickoff.
It all comes back to the toilet, doesn't it, Nick? When it calls,
it really does. It really does. Always, if you're feeling regular, then you're feeling good. It helps clear your mind, make sane decisions. You know,
who is the best football playing actor or? Which
you know
that you had
around a couple now. That stand out. I mean, my first one was Antonio Gates. I was in a hot tub with Antonio Gates season one,
okay.
And I was in a hot tub with him for like 5 hours, mm-hmm. And I was losing my mind and said some things to him that I don't remember and still regret. Terrell Suggs, very funny dude.
T-Sizzle. Okay,
he's a genuinely funny guy. JJ Watt came in. This is when I realized, like, this is, and I'm sure you've dealt with this too, is like,
yes,
the guys who are stars in the league who then can transition into being broadcasters,
mm-hmm.
You have to be an incredibly smart, like, I know people, I could be wrong, but I think a lot of people think the athletes are just pure athletic machines, but to be the best at your sport, let's say like a JJ Watt, to excel for the number of years, or Terrell Suggs, you have to be so fast and so quickly adaptable and be able to learn and evolve very quickly And I think he, like, I watched JJ at the beginning of the week shoot one scene, and then it was the week of the ESPYs, and he probably shot like two commercials the next couple days and an ESPY sketch, and then came back on a Friday, and by Friday he was a markedly better actor.
No kidding.
And I think it's, he's so, a guy like that, you know, it's like if you're the quarterback of your defense, or you are learning, picking up things and adapting incredibly fast. And I think some of the guys who came on were able to do that. Ocho Cinco had four cell phones on set when we were in Vegas. Those are definitely some of the highlights, but it was always a blast. It was just always fun, no matter who they were. Josh Cribbs was fun.
Yeah, I think, didn't Marshawn do one? Did he do
Marshawn
one?
Marshawn did a few. Marshawn came in the last minute and did it. It was amazing. Really special, very funny guy. Showed up late and pranked the whole team. He was just very funny, and like pretended like he wasn't going to come, and then showed up, didn't even tell his agent, and then showed up on set.
And then let's roll. Yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah, exactly.
Nick Kroll here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay. And Big Mouth is back, and you've got so many funny people doing this, man. So this season you've got Zach Galifianakis and Seth Rogen and John Oliver. How do you reach Paul Giamatti? How do you reach out to these people and say, this is what I got in mind for you? And then you lay out what you actually have in mind for them, Nick.
Well, how does that work for you? In order of appearance, John Oliver was early in the season. He plays a British. The first three episodes take place at camp. Mm-hmm. And we always had British counselors for some reason. Like,
I remember
summer camps in the Northeast always had weird British counselors.
Yes.
High That's... black socks and sandals and short
yes.
shorts.
Yes. Yes.
Including my now brother-in-law, Roger Bennett, who's a
Get
host
out.
Of Men in Blazers podcast yes. and TV show. Just doing a little sports podcast show.
Yes.
Synergy. Shout out to Roger Bennett and Michael Davies of the
Men in Blazers.
Men in Blazers crew.
Yes.
But they, those counselors were always around, and John is a friend. I call him a friend. I don't know if he'd call me a friend, but we reached out to him. He was down to pop in and do it. Paul Giamatti voices speaking of toilet time, one of the storylines is that Andrew goes to camp and he doesn't like to poop anywhere but at home.
Yes.
And he basically spends the entire summer holding it in. Or he loses the thread, a little bit of a turtle head, you know, like a turtle head situation where
sure.
it pops out and then
sure.
retreats and doesn't want to go back. And mm-hmm. so Paul voices his impacted poop, his angry impacted poop for the year. And I think we reached out to him directly, or no, I didn't reach out to him. We went through regular casting,
right.
and I think it turned out his son was a fan. And so
okay.
he was like, all right, I'll play an impacted poop on your show. he's amazing. I mean, he couldn't be more perfect for the role. And then Seth Rogen has been a friend for a long time and a fan of the show, and he plays my best friend at camp. And he was also a kind of a camp kid, so he really understood that. He plays Seth Goldberg on the show.
Okay,
his best friend from childhood and writing partner is Evan Goldberg. My best friend and writing partner on Big Mouth is Andrew Goldberg. So we thought there was some fun stuff to make him Seth Goldberg. And he definitely showed his balls to kids at camp, which he does on the show. And then, Zach Galifianakis plays, in fact, getting back to the beginning of our conversation.
Yes.
He plays the Gratitude, because the season of Big Mouth deals with anxiety, which I think people
yes.
are dealing with right now more than ever. And kids are obviously dealing with it a tremendous amount. And, you know, we talked to psychologists, therapists about how do you deal with anxiety. And the thing that came back repeatedly and really with one specific therapist that we talked to was he talked about, you know, take breathing, really working your breathing, and also gratitude. And so when I heard gratitude, I was like, oh, what if there was a gratitude? And then we reached out to Zach, who has this really wonderful kind of funny voice for gratitude as like a kind of a fun, almost like Margaritaville-esque gratitude, you know, this toad who's like all about gratitude, as a means to help kids deal with their anxiety. And as a means for you to deal with your anxiety, sure. as you losing your fantasy football.
Yes.
And your
I do need a gratitude.
You know.
You're right. You're right, you Nick. And so you just dropped a lot there, and I just wanted, I guess, kind of want to go one by one on a few things here.
Sure.
First of all, I went to summer camp, Camp Lokanda, Trails End Camp, both
sure.
in New York and Pennsylvania, respectively. And they did have tons of British counselors, tons, mm-hmm. who all taught us best they could about soccer, playing soccer. And I always remember, and I made this always my call of soccer highlights on SportsCenter. Whenever somebody just missed the goal, I would use the phrase that all the counselors used with me, which was, unlucky.
That's, yeah. Totally.
That's the word they would call you unlucky.
And yeah.
I brought that to SportsCenter because that was straight from my summer camp experience. You know,
yeah, they're
the high black socks.
Much of my concept of Britishisms comes from those counselors, and I now have a vivid memory of going like wide right and hearing unlucky,
hard luck. Yeah. That's what they would tell me, hard luck. And I'd never heard those phrases before, being from Staten Island, New York. And then, so your brother-in-law, with the great Roger Bennett, he's a stellar human being. That guy,
I love him. Yeah, he and I have obviously he married my sister, okay. Vanessa, and we did a book together years and years ago called Bar Mitzvah Disco about his bar mitzvah pictures and stories from the 70s, the 90s, and and he's gone on to, you know, to host Men in Blazers and
yes.
and just become, he's a sports fan. I think he's done a ton to introduce Premier League soccer to American audiences and figure out a way to really connect you know, pop culture and sports in a way, and honestly, in a way that you yourself blaze the trail, I think, in a way that now has become more common. But you know, he's really dives in. He's a great writer. He's written a lot of books, and Men in Blazers. If you're interested in soccer, if you don't really care about soccer but you want to understand it more, I highly recommend Men in Blazers.
Him and Davies are phenomenal, and I do have it's just it's not geographically sound for me to get all the way up to where we keep our mugs. I do have a Bilf Life mug that he gave me because I feel like I'm worthy of that mug based on many different things.
I think you are, thank you Nick, and then
last one. Look, I've been fortunate to ask friends who are very talented and very, you know, well-known friends do stuff for me on this show. Like, hey, would you mind reading it this way or doing it that way? And then they send it to you. And it's not that, you know, like you have to send it back to them and say, would you mind doing it another way? We've done bits and constructs like that. So when you ask Paul Giamatti to play an impacted poop, do you just accept his first reading, or do you actually give somebody that decorated notes, Nick? How does that work?
The beauty of Paul Giamatti is that there's not the need for many notes. He was able to very quickly find
capture.
The character
okay.
of an impacted, angry poop. In fact, on my Instagram, there's a video. If there's a somewhere on my Instagram, there's a picture of Giamatti and then a video of him. You know, I think we recorded him. He was in New York. We were in LA and Mark Levin, one of my co-creators, took a video of him speaking straight to camera about Nick, the character. But I like to think Paul is actually speaking it directly to me, but you can see the performance and it's pretty special. Is this live? Are we live right now?
We are. Yeah, we are. Okay. We are. But I appreciate you giving me that heads up. But if is there a way you can?
I'm like, oh, I could play something. I could play it for you directly, but I feel like that might be
That would be dicey.
Slightly dangerous. Yeah.
We'll just have to. We'll just have to see it on your show.
Yes, it says if you go to my Instagram, it's Andrew's poop is Paul Giamatti, and you can see it. The poop looks a little like Paul Giamatti. And you can see Paul, and he's got a fully shaved head, and it's pretty special. And if you're angry with me, if we ever end up in the same fantasy football league,
sure.
Rich and you,
yes,
you get frustrated with me, you can go and, hear Paul Giamatti speak to my selfishness and it might bring you some solace.
I look forward to that, Nick. And we will. I will definitely remember that I've invited you to something that you have months to back out of. Next year. Before I let you go, for my own children, I need to ask: Sing 2, is that coming? Do we get that? Do we
Sing
get more Gunther?
Sing 2 is coming. It's COVID has thrown everything sort of for a loop, but right. It is coming. I've done a lot of recordings for it, and it's great. And I think I did a recording for you of Gunther,
yes.
And I don't think I had, you did not give me any notes on it, but maybe now
I didn't.
Feel more comfortable.
No, again, you captured that, but if I asked you to record something to my children in the voice of the douche, I would have given you notes for sure from Sausage Party.
I will hold off on that, but
okay.
If and when you need, if your kids are ever, need to make a BM, I can talk to Paul Giamatti about voicing an impacted poop for them. Just let me know.
Oh, man, I think I told you the last time you were here, my kids, as we were driving around town, looked and saw the posters for Sausage Party and billboards. They're like, Dad, can we see that? I'm like, nope. No, you may not.
not yet.
No, you may not. Let's
when
see.
They do, but when they do, it's a glory. By the time the COVID quarantine is over, oh my God, you'll be like, you know what? Go ahead.
Why not?
Watch it.
What
are we going to do at this point? We've watched everything else on every streaming network at this point. So.
Nick, this was great, man. Thanks for the time. Let's do this more often. And you be well. You be healthy and safe. And congrats on your show being already renewed for seasons 5 and 6. You can catch Big Mouth on Netflix. Thanks for the call, sir.
Thanks, Rich. Appreciate
right
it.
Right back at you. That's Nick Kroll. Oh, that's so damn funny.
Oh, man.
The home team. I know some home team people.
Yeah.
We're in the studio with one.
Are you serious? I don't know how deep we want to get into this conversation. Home team, huh? Got it.
I am the opposite.
Yeah, I need to be in a familiar
when it's go
place.
Time, that's where we're
but
going.
But you can't be a home team person in summer camp because, it's a 6 to 8 week situation.
Well, no, but you've made that home at that point.
That is so funny that Paul Giamatti, let's get him to do that. I mean, we've had, bits and constructs here
sure.
Where we've invited people like, hey, would you mind reading this or doing that?
Yeah.
And then you get it back and it's just like not what we had hoped. And you got to then call somebody as a professional voiceover or actor or actress and just say, would you mind doing it again? That's all I could think of when it's like, let's get Paul Giamatti to be an angry, impacted poop. Paul, listen, I appreciate you doing it, and I appreciate you wanting to do it, and I appreciate your son liking the show so you would do it, but would you mind doing it a different way? Okay, let's take a break. We'll be back with Michael Holly, a brother from another, to have him help us take him and us to his show. That's next on NBC Sports on Peacock. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. So I texted our buddy Chris Mannix, who covers the great association for Sports Illustrated, right? I want to make sure I got it right?
Yeah, he's correct. Good. Yes,
Giannis can sign the Supermax next offseason, too.
Okay.
So what's the big deal then? Why is everybody making such a big deal of it now?
Because there's nothing
he'll be
else
a free
to talk
agent.
About.
Because he'll actually be a free agent next summer.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why.
I got it.
Yeah.
They want him to
Look,
sign
Look, man. So then wouldn't you, if you're him, sit back and see how it plays out this season?
You have to.
Yeah, but after I signed and got my money.
He's going to
because in the NBA it doesn't matter.
I know
your contract situation means zero. Bupkis.
You're right.
If you want a trade, you demand a trade, and then you're traded. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's true.
Huh. So much going on, man. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on our radio network, Chris Mannix of Sports Illustrated making sure, because I just want to make sure, because we keep talking about it. Man, are we going to just talk about it and talk about it till the 21st?
Yeah.
Which is the deadline to sign our Supermax contract, which Paul George signed with the Clippers today. Chris Mannix of Sports Illustrated texts me back. Hey, I'm like, hey, does he have to sign it now? Or he can sign it next offseason too. So if he signs it next offseason, though, he would be a free. He can be a free agent. There's no franchise tagging, right? In the NBA,
not like the NFL.
Well, their version of the tag is like we can give you more money here than anywhere else.
Right, right. You can get 40 more. You know, if you make.
And your point
NBA
is,
team.
Your point is sign it now, right. And then you can go wherever the hell you want anyway because you can just say I worked out with so and so and I want to go like every other superstar athlete in the NBA.
That's how it works.
Maybe it's not about the money.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
okay.
Look, you've been in this too long.
I'm just.
I don't know a single human being for whom it's not about the money.
Pay that man his money.
Yeah, it's another one right there. Okay. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, getting ready to have another brother from another to watch right here on NBC Sports on Peacock along with Michael Smith is Michael Holly. How are you, Michael?
Rich, I'm doing great. It's not about the money for me, my brother. It's all about the love.
About the old
love.
About the old Benjamins. What do you think of Harden's choices these days? What do you think?
Who, James Harden?
That's the Harden, yes, sir.
Rich, please explain James Harden. Please explain the fascination with James Harden to me.
Oh,
I honestly don't get it.
I didn't think you'd go in that direction, but why? What do you mean you don't get it? First of all, he's one of the best offensive players we've seen maybe in the last 25 years, if not ever. You could make a case about his statistics.
He's got some of the best numbers,
right?
That we've seen, but this calling him a top five player, I can't do this. I can't do this anymore. He's not a top five player. And it just bothers me. I don't like watching him. I don't like watching his. I don't like his game. I don't get him. I really don't. Like so, there are times there are players. And just to be clear, there are players throughout NBA history that I haven't necessarily liked, but I understand their greatness. With James Harden, I don't like watching him play, and I don't understand why people think he's great. He can score, but. He's not on a level with a LeBron James. He's not on a level with Kevin Durant. We can't stop describing him like he's in that rare air. He's not.
Well, he hasn't won, it all, right? And hasn't shown that he can take over a game when it's the most important game of the year that we've seen. I mean, his Game 7 history numbers off the top of my head, I don't have at my fingertips. So you could make that case, but I think the fascination with him is that he can score and that he can score at will. He can score in a way in this NBA.
So can Bernard King.
No, who is, by the way, well, you're talking my language.
So can Carmelo.
By the way, Bernard King is one of my favorite players of all time. So you're talking, my language.
I like Bernard. I really did. I love him.
But I think the fascination with Harden is that if he goes somewhere and teams up, and creates a super team that it would basically remove the pressure for him because he would go somewhere where he's not carrying the entire load, and he would also make that team a championship team on the spot. I think that's the fascination with him, if I may say.
I don't think he would, because if you're forming a super team, let's say he is one of three, so it's just a math problem, and one of those three guys is going to have to decrease. He's just going to have to. He's going to have to sacrifice his game. That guy is going to be a star player somewhere else, but when you're one of three, somebody is just going to have to step back. And so I don't think he'll do that. That's one. So he'll feel like, I'm not going to sacrifice. And secondly, out of all these great teams, I haven't seen a champion yet, including the Warriors, who, for my money, are the best team I've seen when they had Kevin Durant. I haven't seen a great team win it and be poor defensively. I don't think that's happened in recent memory. Can you think of anybody? I can't.
No, I'm racking my brain over here. TJ, I'll toss it over to you.
If he goes to Brooklyn, for example, I know that's not going to happen. But if he does go to Brooklyn, and you got two guys who aren't known for their defense, Kyrie and Harden, and that leaves it to, you know, 32-year-old Kevin Durant to carry them defensively. I mean, Durant can do everything. I love him. But I just don't know if that's the construction of a championship team.
Yeah, I don't know who's going to break up.
I didn't even think I'd be,
who's going to break up their team to go there?
You, talking about this with you today,
yes.
Rich.
I didn't, what?
You just called me in a weird mood. You called me in a weird mood where I'm like anti-Harden. I think I was arguing with Michael Smith about Harden, and it just carried over to our conversation.
No, Michael.
I'm bringing baggage to this relationship. And it's just,
no,
it's
I
not
think
a good thing.
I think you're just getting ready for Kendrick Perkins to talk about the subject on his show. And when he's joining, you know, you got to bring your A game like that. I think that might be what it
That's
is.
That's right.
You know? And then you also have Chris Sims getting ready to talk about the Carson Wentz situation in Philly, which is just truly one of the most fascinating stories of 2020 that I don't think anybody saw coming. Because we have never seen a situation where a player gets their, if you will, supermax, like the NFL would call, contract, and they are suddenly, upon signing that contract, totally regressing to the point where he has to be benched. And I've not seen that. I've not seen that. And if Wentz was in a part of his career where he was going to go ahead, and if he was in year four, year five of his contract, they'd be getting ready to release him, a la Mariota or Jameis or Trubisky. They would let him go. So this is fascinating to me.
Yeah, you're right. And to me, too. And I wonder where you stand on it, because I still think Wentz has a lot of good football left in him. I think they have not done right by him overall. Look, he's played poorly, been sacked a lot, he's thrown a lot of interceptions. But if you look at their moves, like move by move, since they beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl, a lot more losses front office-wise, personnel-wise, than wins. And it's just been in a bad – it's a bad surrounding, bad atmosphere for him. But all that being said, I think he still has some winning football left in him. It's like MVP-level football left. What do you think?
Oh, Wentz?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Or you think he's done?
I don't think he's done. I just don't think he's going to – that MVP season, he had all the pieces around him, from the players to the coaching staff, with Frank Reich, who was on that staff and will never return to that staff. You know, entirely possible that Frank Reich loves him so much and says, okay, Phillip Rivers just left, we'll take him. But not with a contract like that and the way that he's performing like this. Like that's my concern for him. I don't think he's done. I think he can still be an effective quarterback in the league, but as the guy who can make you the one seed because he's making every throw and he's not making any mistakes and he's not throwing his body around, I fear those days are done for him, quite frankly.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, Rich, like, there are certain quarterbacks who can perform with whatever you give them. I mean, you look at Aaron Rodgers, who's never had a first-round pick drafted for him at a wide receiver. He never has in his career. That's amazing. And Tom Brady had it once with N'Keal Harry, and that didn't work out so great. But I'm saying, those guys, even if you gave them undrafted free agents or second- or third-round picks, guys who are not highly regarded in college,
right,
they can still get it done. I don't think that Carson Wentz is that guy, and that's no shame in that, because that's rare. I mean, I just named two guys who can do it, and they're the all-time greats. I think you still have to do more for him. And look, if they do everything they're supposed to do and he still is playing like this, then okay. Yeah, you're right. Maybe that day is over. But I think there's a lot more left, and that the front office has gotten a bit of a pass. Front office and coaching staff has gotten a bit of a pass in this situation.
I think, and here's the crazy thing, that the more confident quarterback on their roster is the kid that they're starting. And, you know, that could change within the first half because the Saints defense has been marauding most of their opponents. But I'm very much looking forward to seeing Jalen Hurts in this opportunity. I'm a big fan of him. I love his moxie. I love his heart. I love his game. I love his athleticism. I love his mind. I love everything about him. And I think I think that that's the issue that might send Wentz to the bench myself. But I'm also a glass half full guy. I jumped all the way in on Tua, and I'm still waiting to see him perform consistently. And he's got a big, huge roadblock in form of trying to go point for point with Mahomes this weekend. The Week 14 docket is just, honestly, I could talk all day about it, and I unfortunately can't because your show is about to start in a few minutes. I don't want to get you in trouble.
That's one of those things of, hey, I'm just going to let you go really nicely, you know. You know, I could talk about it all day. I know you can't. Well, you know, it's about time for you to get going.
Well, no, it's being mindful. Again, I know producers in this business are being like, where's Rich? Why isn't he not here? Even though he's never missed an assignment. Like, where? Why isn't he in the chair? What's going on? Oh, he's on the phone? He's on the phone with another show?
Like, they're naturally nervous people. I think that's what you're trying to say.
Well, no, I say they're naturally, shall I say, cautious. Cautious people.
Oh, cautious.
How about that? Not
that's
nervous.
Nice way of putting it.
No, because the best producers make, you know, don't let the person in the chair know that the perfect storm is hit, and you just sit there and think that there's not a single ripple on the pond. That's the best producer there is. I used to have a producer on SportsCenter who, with Stuart Scott and I, when we used to go like 2 minutes over, and we knew we were going 2 minutes over, and he would tell us to rap, and then the commercial break would start, and the first thing you'd hear in your ear would be this. Then he would drop an F-bomb, and he'd go, we got an effing problem here. We got an effing problem. Hold on a second. And then, like, Stuart and I would look at each other. We're like, I guess we kept talking, huh? there's Don Bowie telling me, all right, rap. But in a very calm way. That just happened.
That's great.
You know, that's the story.
And I want to applaud you before you kick me out of here. I want to applaud you and the social media team with the lyrics to go from A Tribe Called Quest to announce your lineup today. I don't know if you're aware of this.
Yes. No, of course, Michael. I chose it. It was my choice. It was my choice. And everything that TJ Jefferson does is with my aware and thumbs up. And okay. So, no, I delegate to my social media grandmaster. It's his job. It's his role. It's his
I like spear. To put a tribe on there whenever Michael's coming on because,
there it is.
Michael Holly introduced me to A Tribe Called Quest back in the day.
Oh,
so.
I thought you meant member of the tribe. It is the first night of Hanukkah.
That is true.
All right, I got to let you go, God. Michael. Your show literally starts in seconds, and a great chat with you. Say hi to Michael Smith. We'll see you.
That may be the funniest thing you've ever seen.
Have a good show, Michael. Have a good one.
All right, Rich. TJ.
My man.
It's Michael Holly, everybody. Good musical selection.
He was thinking Tribe Called Quest, and you're thinking a tribe, like Eric Stone Street and Mitchell Schwartz.
Well, he thought the tribe was the Chiefs. It is the first night of Hanukkah. Will the second day of Hanukkah feature the Judah Maccabee of fantasy football, Mike Davis, getting all the reps for his team?
Oh, baby.
McCaffrey better be getting a thigh rub down as we speak.
Well,
thigh rub down.
You're not just talking about football.
No, I'm talking about football.
My bad. Sorry.
I'm talking football.
Thank you to Dabo Swinney, DeMarcus Ware, Nick Kroll, and Michael Holly on tomorrow's edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Kevin Bacon will join us. That'll be great. A lot of fun with Kevin Bacon
everybody
on our program.
Cut.
So for all of us on radio, we appreciate you listening to us on either Sirius XM or this terrestrial radio station, especially the mightier 1090 in Southern California. Enjoy the Rams taking on the Patriots tonight.
Go Rams.
For those on Peacock, hang right there. We'll be right back. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room. Collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/teams.